Welcome to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zalzberg, editor of the Herald Times in Bloomington, along with Mary Catherine Carmichael, and we're going to talk today about the recent floods and about disaster relief here in Monroe County and the surrounding county. With us in the studio are Sue Gully from the American Red Cross Monroe County Chapter and John Hooker with Monroe County Emergency Management. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. And before we get started, I also should say that Angie Hebel, from the director of the Volunteer Action Center of Bartholomew County, was supposed to be with us today, but they have too many volunteer applications to process over there in Bartholomew County, so she wasn't able to make it. And we also ought to acknowledge our producer, Catherine Hageman, who is from Columbus, and her family is dealing with this flooding as well, so she's not here with us today.
We wish them the best. We're thinking about you, Catherine.
Right. All right, Sue and John. So give us kind of an overview of what's happening right now. I mean, what's today been like for Sue? Let's start with you.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for letting me come on today and hopefully share some good information with your listeners about what the Red Cross is doing right now. Today we have a service center open in Spencer, which has really been the base of our disaster relief operation for the past week. And I do also have an 800-866 number for folks to call for additional information. At the service center, we have caseworkers who have been deployed to what is now a national disaster relief operation. And they have come from all over the country. We've got about 400 volunteers who deployed to Indianapolis, where the headquarters is for this operation. And these are volunteers who are trained Red Cross volunteers in various functional areas. So we'll have caseworkers there to work with individual families. We had been actually giving out, we probably gave out about 125 cleaning kits this week. We ran out of them. They're on order, and we're hoping to get that delivery from the operation today.
What is it, a cleaning kit?
Brooms, mops, sponges, things that will help people right now with cleanup. Because, as you know, that's the hard part right now with everyone. With the high temperatures, the rain, many people are pulling out, you know, carpets and everything from their homes. So this is the real tough time for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and John, how about with you today?
It's crazy. We're in what's called the recovery phase. If emergency management has four phases: mitigation, preparedness, response, and the response is, you know, what we dealt with the when the floods came in. That ended Saturday night, and then we jumped into the recovery phase. So right now, we're trying to get individuals here in the community to let us know what kind of damages you have so we can put numbers together and send to the state how many homes were affected by the flood, how many homes had minor damage, how many homes had major, how many homes were destroyed, so we can send that letter information up to the state.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've had one deadline sort of after another. It keeps getting moved back. What's a deadline now for people to get you that information?
Next week, the 20th.
Okay.
We're encouraging people to get to us as soon as possible. We don't need, you know, everything. We just like to know what kind of damages you had, like you had a foot of water in your basement, et cetera. We then encourage everybody to call that FEMA hotline and give them all that information.
Mm-hmm. So how do they contact both you and the FEMA hotline in case they're listening and want to write those numbers down?
Okay. Our office number is 349-2533, and that's for Monroe County residents. If you want to call and your other listeners from surrounding counties, we've had counties call in, want to report damages from Owen, Brown, Green, Vigo. I guess I do too good of a job. But, you know, you can call in and we'll point you in the right direction with a smile. Mm-hmm. The FEMA number is 1-800-621-3362. That's 1-800-621-FEMA.
Oh.
And call between 8 and 6.
Okay. Now, Sue, I wanted to go back to you for a minute. You said the 400 volunteers came into Indianapolis for deployment. How many of those will be going to Spencer, actually?
We have many of them on the ground. I think as of today, we had four who were going to be doing casework. We have damage assessment teams similar to who John has been working with. But on his side, we have damage assessment folks who talk to his people too, to work on an individual basis. It's the damage assessment of those homes that is what the financial assistance is based on. So we have 2 to 3 teams, damage assessment teams, and then we've got all the other, you know, logistics folks who are working with us, and then our own local trained disaster volunteers. So I would say we probably have 25 who are doing about 12-hour shifts through this weekend.
Hey, now, that Spencer Service Center, that is to work with people in Owen County, obviously, but what other folks? Is that Monroe County, too?
Monroe County folks can go there as well. We have plans this weekend to do outreach in Monroe County, and we're still getting some of those damage assessment figures from John and then from some of our own teams on the ground. So that we can get out and do outreach.
That's what I wondered, because a lot of these folks who are affected live in rural areas, and some of them, if you didn't know they lived there, you wouldn't know anybody lived there. Yeah. So how are you able to reach them, and has cell phone service been affected or telephone service in general? Are people able to communicate? I know that's always a problem during a disaster.
Yes. Some of the phone lines are out. I was up in Hackers Creek place, and they told me that their phone lines are still out, but they, you know, are using their cellular phones. So, you know, they're getting the word to us, you know, in case there is an emergency. You know, we know where they are. We work very well with the Red Cross. You know, they're part of our emergency operation plan. They play a role in it. And ESF number 6, shelter and mass care. And then ESF number 18, damage assessment. So we work, you know, very well with the Red Cross.
And we have gotten calls too this week from folks in Monroe County reporting their needs as well. So that we'll be responding to those as we get people into the chapter house.
Is there anybody who just kind of goes door to door almost and checks on things, or you know, goes down that road where that you know there's somebody living?
The damage assessment teams do.
Yes. That's what they do.
Yeah, what the state had put together is a flood damage assessment form, and we've kind of been working off there. People have been calling in. There's a lot of questions. Then what we've been is we've gone out, and like on Hackers Creek, we had one person that filled out the questionnaire, but in turn we hit I think 4 or 5 other homes around that neighborhood because, you know, they had damage. And, you know, they might have called in. They might not have. And so we just went ahead and got everybody all taken care of.
I would think that would be a really major issue. People don't know where to even begin. And I can imagine they feel very isolated in a situation like this as they're pulling their life's belongings out of their homes and stripping them down to the studs. That's very...
Yeah. And some people don't even take the paper because, you know, I was out there
talking... I can't believe it.
I can't either.
You know, I was talking to one resident that called in. And he had some damage to his farm field and everything. And you know, I told him, I said, you know, to call the FEMA hotline. It was in the paper today. And he says, I don't have the paper, but I did take your thing
off the
online and had it with me so I could get that information to him.
Share that liberally.
So that's right.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Our phone number is 855-0811, 877-285-9348. And the email address is noon@indiana.edu. Monroe County was obviously hit pretty hard, but not comparatively. I mean, Bartholomew County and Morgan County were essentially underwater. First of all, I guess, John, you were talking about damage assessments. Do you have some ballpark figure? Do you have any sense of what it's going to be once we get finished with this?
I'm going to look around 300 to 400 homes here in the county that had some kind of damage to them.
Mm-hmm. And businesses? Do you keep account on businesses with damage?
Yes. We've been working with the mayor's office. They have provided some figures. I think those figures are somewhere, you know, on the bottom of the list. So I can, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the state was in, FEMA was in Monday and Tuesday. They've got with Mayor Cruzan, toured some of the businesses. We had one business hit very hard, Winners Associates. Mm-hmm. We've been there several times talking to them and trying to reassure them that, you know, we're there to help them. So, and they appreciate it.
And, you know, it's interesting. We need to sort of go back a little bit and set the stage, because Winners and Associates was really hurt by that Wednesday storm, which
yes.
was a week, 9 days ago now. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a lot of the Bartholomew County and Morgan County effects were from Saturday mm-hmm. and Saturday night. So we didn't – Bloomington and Monroe County didn't get quite as much on Saturday.
Right. We got a lot of rain up in the northern part of the county. I think we had three water rescues, or, you know, that we had people that were stranded. I got a call at about 10 till 4 in the morning saying from Central Dispatch they had three different places that they had people trapped because of high water. So we had to go out with some boats mm-hmm. and gators, and some places we couldn't even get to. They started taking the boat out there, and the water went down. And, you know, they had to, you know, to come back, and we had to call a gator to go through the woods to get to the people. But, we checked on everybody and got everybody all, you know, safe and secured.
So tell me what a gator is.
A gator is one of those four-wheel drive, you know, motorized.
Like a mini Jeep.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
All right.
Had to make sure I knew what you were talking about.
You've probably seen them on, you know, John Deere has them and some of the other folks.
Okay. All right. All right. Our phone number is again 855-0811-877-285-9348. The email address is noon@indiana.edu. Sue, for the Red Cross, and the Red Cross gets involved in a lot of different kinds of disasters. I mean, how does this one rate? I mean,
the last number that I heard from the operation in Indianapolis for the Indiana disaster was $2.5 million was the estimate uh-huh. for the costs on this one. That's the highest level for our organization, but on the lower level of that high end, the fact that there has just been this tragic sequence of events throughout the Midwest has just started to now put a strain on our, you know, human and material resources as an organization, because we've got everything from Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, mm-hmm. Illinois. And so when you're trying to call out available volunteers, you know, you've got a tremendous need. Mm-hmm. So Indiana, I think, has gotten a lot of attention from the national organization in terms of getting the people and the materials that they need mm-hmm. to help the people. Can I get the 1-866 number out there for your listeners?
That'd be good.
Because this is the number, and I tested it myself. You know, when you hear an 866 number, mm-hmm. you want to make sure people are being taken care of. But it's 1-866-GET-INFO. Which is the Red Cross hotline, and it is staffed 24/7. The numbers for that are 1-866-438-4636. And then our service centers are open. We've got, I think, five open now in central Indiana and southern Indiana, are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Ours in Spencer at the elementary school will be open through the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. Folks can just, you know, go there and get some assistance, get water, snacks, talk to the caseworker.
And I assume that they'll be open through the weekend unless we get a whole lot more rain. Is it possible?
Then it might turn right back into a shelter if we're needed.
Let me read this note that I just got. It says the National Weather Service in Indianapolis has issued a flash flood warning for northern Greene County in southwest Indiana, southern Clay County in west central Indiana, and Owen County in west central Indiana. Flash flood warning is in effect until 2 p.m. So, John, I hope you can stay since we have a live flood warning.
Just what we needed.
We put together last night a plan of what we need to do in case we have another flood again. So we're ready.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm glad you called it a flood and not a rain event. It sounds more
definitely.
Exactly. We've talked about people getting the cleaning supplies they need and the kind of physical help that they need. But I think something like this really takes a toll on one's mental health. What kind of assistance is there available for folks who are dealing with the loss of all their belongings?
We actually do have mental health folks who have been deployed to the Spencer Service Center, and we've also had tremendous local support for health services in addition to Red Cross nursing volunteers. Mm-hmm. So they will be able to get their mental health needs met. We also had from Cornerstone an offer to assist flood victims in Monroe and Owen over the long term, that they will be able to provide help to them in that period, because it does take a toll, and it's often the most vulnerable people who are in those areas, and they have long-term recovery needs, and we're very aware of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have another question. Go ahead.
You know, I would say you look at the flood victims, but you also had to look at the responders, too, because they need the needs, too, because I know a lot of our people, you know, really are – or stressed out.
Well, the kind of people who choose to do that kind of work are often tender-hearted folks, and I'm sure that really does have a strong impact on them. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I always wonder about, and this is kind of a non sequitur, but I worry about people wading through the floodwaters because I think about all the yuckiness that is potentially in there. That's a technical term.
Yuckiness.
Yeah. I see children, and in fact, I see children playing in streams right now that I wonder, what's overflowed into those streams. Is that anything that you guys can make recommendations about as far as, is any of that safe or should it all be avoided?
Well, we have been working with the health departments whose recommendation is if anyone has been in floodwaters, they need to get a tetanus shot. And we do have information from in Owen County where they can get their tetanus shots. And that information will be available at the service center. Mm-hmm. I have an Owen County Health Department number.
Do you need to be an Owen County resident for that?
I can't answer that. Okay. I would not.
But
think
it's worth
so,
a phone call.
Yes,
yeah.
And that's 829-5017 for them. There is a lot of information that RedCross.org has for folks after a flood, and we also have booklets and pamphlets that we can send out to someone, or they can come by our chapter house on East 7th Street and get that information from us.
Okay.
And then on our website, we have flood damage information. It's a link to the state website that the government, Daniels, has put together.
Mm-hmm. So. What about people just playing in the streams after we've had so much overflow of everything? Would you recommend maybe they stay out of there for a while? Or
seeing some of our sewer lines, that are close by, sometimes they, overflow.
Right.
And, I saw that last Wednesday night, and, I wouldn't go in it. And, I'd hope if I would have kids, I wouldn't, let my kids go in it. But we can't stop people.
No, I've seen some of that, and I just thought, well, why don't you just dip your kid in the toilet? It's the same thing right now, and it just was driving me crazy. So I had to hear from an expert that was, in fact, I'm not crazy that it is.
No, you're
yucky.
You're,
well, I'm crazy too, but I mean that's just yucky.
But you're an expert, technical.
That's
on
right.
All this stuff. All right, 855-811-877-285-9348 and noon@indiana.edu. John, I want to ask you about. I'm always intrigued by, when there is an emergency. Mm-hmm. Like there is, what exactly happens? What do you do? Who do you deploy? What kind of equipment do you have to deploy in a flood situation?
Okay, in a flood situation, usually we send out the fire departments. Mm-hmm. We'll go out. We're just there as a kind of a resource, a liaison. We help coordinate things. Take the incident Saturday morning. Got a call about people trapped in Bryant's Creek, which is almost to the county line on 37 North. got up there. You know, we had to launch the boat. We had water getting over 37, and that's, you know, the first time. Mm-hmm. We had mudslides. Later on that the day out on the county road, I saw a whole side of a hill just slide right down the road. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, am I in the wrong state? So, you know, we work with our, you know, emergency responders. And, mm-hmm. and we have some of the fantastic emergency responders here in the county. I was just told today that we are sending six Blount police officers over to Columbus to assist because they're having a lot of problems over there. So, you know, we help our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We've helped Greene County out with sandbags. We have empty sandbags stored out at our county highway. So we have about 20 bundles, and each bundle has 1,000 empty sandbags. So I told my surrounding counties, hey, if you need anything, you're more than welcome. Come on in. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here to help you because I know if I was in that situation, you'd be helping me.
You know, we get to ask the dumb questions. Mm-hmm. Where does the sand come from to fill that many sandbags?
Okay. If it's a big operation, usually we can get the sand in. But what they do is the state recommends that you just let the folks get the sand. Sometimes they go out to Lowe's or someplace mm-hmm. like that, or they can call the local gravel pits and, mm-hmm. and, you know, get a pickup load.
I see. Okay. You don't have it lying around somewhere just waiting.
Well, if not, we can go out to County Highway. They
yeah,
got a
lot. Right. Yeah, they'll help you out. Right?
Yeah, and I want to say that Murrow County Highway and, you know, Bloomington Street Department have done a fantastic job trying to get the roads back in order. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we should give them a big thanks.
Mm-hmm. And what can citizens do? I know that some of the flooding down on Kirkwood was attributed to clogged
drains.
Drains. Thank you. I was thinking of the grates on top. Yeah. But the clog situation, are you asking or recommending that citizens kind of keep an eye on their own neighborhood and keep those drains cleared?
Yes. If you see the grass over and debris on the drain grates, you might be a good neighbor, to clean them off, because then that helps, the city or the county to have to send somebody out to, overtime to, to clean it up and, to open it back up. Mm-hmm. With, budgets the way they are, we don't have much money. Mm-hmm. So, every little bit helps.
Yeah. You might be keeping water out of your own house at
yes.
the same time,
right.
too. So
that's
it
right.
seems something in your best interest you mm-hmm. could easily do.
Right. Okay. 855-0811, 877-285-9348. And noonindiana.edu. We're talking with Sue Gulley from the Red Cross and John Hooker from Monroe County Emergency Management. It's time to take a break. You're listening to Noon Edition. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Noon Edition on member-supported WFIU. Production support comes from Closets 2, providing organized and expanded closet and storage space for home office and garage using a variety of systems with no major renovations. Closets 2 owned and operated in Bloomington, 332-2233. And from South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate, classic bungalow-inspired architecture in the Bryan Park neighborhood of Bloomington, www.southdunstreet.info. WFIU thanks all who support public radio. Next time you're visiting one of our business supporters, please let them know that you appreciate their support of WFIU. Perhaps you're involved in decision-making at a business or profession in the WFIU listening area. If you'd like your message to reach WFIU listeners, you can find out more about benefits of underwriting with a call to 1-800-662-3311 or a visit to our website at wfiu.org.
Welcome back to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg from the Herald Times, along with Mary Catherine Carmichael and our guest today, Sue Gulley from the American Red Cross and John Hooker from Monroe County Emergency Management. If you have questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. And we have a couple of alerts to mention to you. One, the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for Brown, Davies, DuBois, Greene, Lawrence, Martin, and Monroe counties in Indiana beginning at 12:25 p.m. and ending at 6:25 p.m. That is in addition to the National Flood Service in Indianapolis has issued a flash flood warning for northern Greene County, southern Clay County, and Owen County. So we've got a couple of warnings. And we also have a phone call. And on the phone is State Senator Vi Simpson. Vi, thanks for calling.
Well, thanks, Bob. Mm-hmm. Thanks for doing this program. It's very important and way too timely, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. Right.
As I'm driving in the rain and it's pouring down. I have a question for Sue, actually.
Okay.
And first of all, let me thank John and Sue and all the other organizations and groups throughout Monroe County for all the good work they've done here. But I wanted to ask Sue mm-hmm. about Brown County. I went to a disaster relief meeting this morning in Brown County, and my concern is that Brown County, because it's not in any of the bigger media markets and because they lack so many services locally, a lot of the people in Brown County, and there are something like 300 families displaced there, they don't have access to a lot of services. I know the Red Cross was there to set up a shelter at the beginning, but they're not there right now. I'm hoping that the Red Cross comes back to Brown County. They have no cleanup kits. They have the total water support for the county is under boil order. Mm-hmm. They are in a real fix. Mm-hmm. And so my question for Sue is, can we expect the Red Cross to be going back into Brown County? And how can I get some of those cleanup kits to take over to Brown County? They do not have one, not one. And they've got some serious problems over there. And because they're in between Columbus and Bloomington, right, I'm afraid right. they've gotten forgotten.
Well, let me assure you, and Mary Ellen Annable, who's my counterpart over in Brown Bartholomew chapter, has been very mindful of the needs in Brown County. And I heard on a conference call this morning that a service center may be stood up there in Nashville, that it, at the very least there will be outreach teams there this weekend. Mary Ellen has an order in for something like 1,000 cleanup kits. And so I am not sure of the estimated delivery of those, but she's, as I say, she's very mindful of the problems in Brown County. And I think you are correct that, you know, some of the larger areas will get attention first. And I just wanted to say that before the flash flood, we were over there providing mutual aid to Mary Ellen with mobile feeding after their tornado in Brown.
That's so, right, and a lot of people have forgotten that not only are they flood victims, but they had a serious tornado a few days before the flood hit. So they're still cleaning up from the tornado situation. So,
yes, and I will when I leave this radio show, I'll be calling up to headquarters to make sure that those cleanup kits are on the way to Brown County.
I've got a call into your office, Sue. So.
Okay.
And I heard you were on the show today, so I thought I'd call you myself.
I'm so glad you did.
Call me and let me know when those cleanup kits would be available. If I have to come and pick them up myself, I'll do it because those people in Brown County need some services.
You are very right. So I will get back to you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yes.
John Hooker,
yes.
Is there anything on our Indiana Department of Homeland Security that you think might be needed that you see that I could pass along?
we've got a conference call with the state and all the department heads and the Brown County department heads this afternoon. So hopefully we'll be able to talk through. IDEM was at the meeting this morning because, of course, they're worried about the water issues. So we're trying to plug the state departments in as much as we can, but Brown County has not, unlike Bartholomew and Monroe County, Brown County still has not gotten their FEMA designation for their individual FEMA emergency services. And so they're still waiting on the federal designation, which kind of is a bit of a hand tire. But we need to do as much as we can. I know that FSSA opened at least temporary offices this morning in Bloomington and in Columbus for mental health services, as well as food stamps and other kinds of direct services. But again, a lot of people in Brown County can't get to Columbus or to Bloomington. So I just have a concern that there are a whole bunch of people falling into a gigantic crack. And so any ideas that you have, John, I'd love to hear them, because you provide great services here in the in this county, and we all appreciate it. But you are very familiar with the lack of services in Brown County.
Right. And I've been trying to work with Mike Bruce over there, trying to give him some pointers, trying to assist him. Anything you ever need, don't hesitate to give me a call. Call my office. If I'm not there, leave a message. You know my phone numbers. Call me.
Okay. Thank you for the offer. We may take you up on it. Thank you so much.
You do a fantastic job for the county and the surrounding area. I really appreciate all you do.
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for your time, Bob.
All right.
MC?
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I got a question for you. Yeah, I got a question for you before you hang up. Do you contact the governor's office and say, hey, we're in a pickle down here? We need some help.
Yes, and we've been talking to FSSA, of course, for the obvious reasons, and the lieutenant governor will be on the conference call this afternoon. So,
great. And what kind of cooperation are you getting?
I think it's pretty overwhelming right now for everybody. There just is a lot of territory to cover, and so I think Sue hit the head of the nail when she said that the larger populated areas are getting covered first, and so I'm just worried about some of the folks that were so hard hit by tornado and flood in some of the more rural counties.
Well, thanks for looking out for him, Vi.
Okay.
All right, Vi,
thanks.
Thank
you for your time. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks a lot for the call. State Senator Vi Simpson. I want to remind our listeners that there is a flash flood warning for northern Greene County, southern Clay County, and Owen County. And there also is the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for Brown, Davies, DuBois, Green, Lawrence, Martin, and Monroe counties. So that severe thunderstorm watch is in effect until 6:25 this evening.
All right. We've had an email that's come in. It asks, what simple steps can I take to protect my home from future flood damage?
That's a good one. Probably to make sure that your debris around your yard, if you have like a creek or something. There's your gutters, because I know that a lot of times the gutters get clogged up and, the water does come in. Sue, do you have any?
Build higher.
You have a sump pump, you want to make sure it's in good working order, I would think.
And probably have a battery backup. But I've talked to a couple people that said they had a battery backup and it didn't work.
So,
it's something that maybe you need to check, like you do with your smoke detectors, every 6 months, check to make sure that they do work.
Mm-hmm. Now, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Sue. Mm-hmm. What about generators? Do you recommend people buy generators in case of emergency, or what do you tell people to do?
Well, if they are going to have a generator, of course, it needs to be outdoors. Right. It needs to be safely installed. And having lived in Florida for 25 years, I can tell you that is a key problem when people don't know where they are to place their generator, because I've seen, you know, garages blow up because they put a generator in an enclosed area. So safety around the generator would be the most important thing.
Yeah, I think Sue hit it right by saying that it needs to be hooked up right, because if you hook it up to the power and you know it feeds back on the Duke Energy or the REMC, and the workers may be on a line working down the street, and it can come back and hurt one of them. So we need to have it hooked up right.
Right. Okay, 855-0811, 877-285-9348, and noon@indiana.edu.
Here's another email that just came in. It asks, if we get future flooding events, would you recommend I walk around my neighborhood and remove debris blocking water flow in the drains?
Yes.
In a word?
Yes. Makes sense to me.
That would be great. Yes. Although, don't get, if it's really deep water, I guess.
Right. Try to do it, before it rains. But, if it's storming, you don't want to go out because you don't want to get hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, this was truly unprecedented. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in Owen County, everyone there, last weekend as we opened up that shelter was saying that they had not seen the levels this high. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're quoting, 1913 mm-hmm. flood.
Right.
But preparedness is key, and we saw that during our sheltering phase. People were not able to plan for their pets. We can't take pets in shelters. And the Humane Society was itself not flooded out there, but it was inaccessible. And so we urge people to make a plan, make an individual plan for any type of emergency, including flooding, where, perhaps if you've got a veterinarian who can shelter your pet, or locate pet-friendly motels if you know that you're in a home that's going to be, that you're going to experience flooding. Make that plan in advance.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that we are working on in our emergency operation plan that's kind of been that has come out of Katrina, because, like Sue says, you cannot take your pets to the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you've got somebody that you're trying to evacuate, they may not want to leave their dog or cat because they're like a child.
Right. And that of course, contributes to the mental anguish of the whole situation,
right,
just making it that much worse. Mm-hmm. So, that's a real issue.
John, what are the key elements of a preparedness plan, a strategy? I mean, I've heard, you have to have a certain amount of water. And
They say to have a plan for 72 hours, but now what I've heard is they've jumped it up to 96 mm-hmm. hours. They talk about having food, clothing, medicine. Well, a lot of people don't think about medicine, some kind of a notification. So you have your relatives someplace outside the state that people can call on in case you get stranded. We have a lot of good information on the Red Cross website about how to make a plan, mm-hmm. and also FEMA.gov. Okay. So either the Red Cross or, the FEMA.
Okay. All right. We have a phone call. Arun is on the phone. Arun?
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was actually just listening into the discussion here, and I'm actually a resident of Columbus, Indiana, and I think I live on the west side of the town, and our family didn't get impacted because of the flood, but I know a lot of folks on the other side and also some of the other counties did get impacted. I've seen a lot of communication about how the other residents can help, and there's probably too much of information floating around, and I was just curious, if you had to channel your effort in terms of helping out some of the folks who got affected, which would be the agencies that you should focus on? I don't know if the team can just comment on that and guide some of the other people who are keen on helping out.
Okay. Sue, how can you help out in Columbus?
If the caller will contact the Red Cross there in Columbus, they will have information about a volunteer network that is organizing those who want to help the flood victims in Columbus. And I did not bring that number with me this morning, but the info line call you can make or to the local chapter in Columbus to get that information. Also, I think Bette Savage here in Bloomington's volunteer network has that information because she got that out to agencies this week.
Yeah, she's putting that together. She called me the other day.
Mm-hmm. And I think the person to try to reach is Angie Hebel. Excuse me, Angie Hebel, which is H-U-E-B-E-L, who's the director of the Volunteer Action Center of Bartholomew County. Angie was supposed to be with us today, but they have too many volunteer applications to process for her to have made it over here. So if you can contact the Volunteer Action Center of Bartholomew County or the Red Cross in Bartholomew County, those seem to be good things to do.
Thank you for your call. Along those same lines, some people can give volunteer time. Some people want to give a monetary contribution. If they give their money to the Red Cross, is there any guarantee that that money will be put toward this particular disaster? I know, as he said, people are very interested in helping their neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We honor donor intent. And so in the memo line of a check, they can put Monroe County flood victims, Owen County flood victims, Indiana. I mean, whatever we get from that donor, that will be designated to that that aspect of the operation. I wanted to mention, too, that in Monroe County, the Sherwood Oaks Christian Church is organizing volunteers, matching them to flood victims who have recovery needs right now. Mm-hmm. And it's Lynn Brown over there who's organizing that. Her telephone number is 812-334-0206, and they really stepped up. They had a team activated last weekend. They're going to be doing it again on Saturday, and they're organizing that. Bloomington Volunteer Network is involved in that as well, and so is 211. I think 211's mm-hmm. gathering information about folks who have non-Red Cross needs.
I'm sure there are several churches, but also I believe the United Methodist Church was working with you. Is that correct, on the cleanup kits?
I don't have that information.
Okay. We had a note in our paper yesterday, so hopefully
St. Mark's Mission Store in Spencer has been taking donations of goods and food and all the things that we as a Red Cross cannot handle. Mm-hmm. So they've been fantastic for the whole week.
So I assume that there are lots of different groups, organizations, individuals that have stepped up.
Yes.
Now, if you have food or let's say you have cleaning supplies that you're willing to donate or something along those lines, what would you like people to go through the regular channels with those as far as, take your food to the food bank?
All of that. And that's the thing that, the point I wanted to make about the long-term recovery efforts. It's our own helping network of United Way agencies, faith-based groups that will be also impacted by more folks needing to come to them for help. So Hoosier Hills Food Bank has been fantastic this week in supplying foods to their pantries in affected areas, also helped us with our sheltering and feeding. And groups like that continue to offer the goods that particular organization is handling because their needs are going to be much higher in the coming weeks.
Oh, sure, yeah. Weeks and months I mean, it's just an amazing thing to try to recover from something like this. Could we talk about that just a little bit as far as what's actually involved? Let's say your house, your actual home, not just your basement, but the living portion of your home has a foot or more of flood water in it. When that recedes, what has to happen at that point in a family's life?
Go ahead with the Red Cross.
Okay. We, of course, we're providing the immediate emergency needs for those families. But when they start to look at the resources, as John has mentioned, register with FEMA. There may be help for those kind of rebuilding needs that they have. If they have insurance, they should have already been talking to their insurance company because You have the danger of mold and mildew, and I know the HT has just been fantastic this week in furnishing a lot of that information for people. But, you know, sometimes your entire drywall is going to have to be taken out, and you'll have to get back to, you know, just the studs in your house. And so you've got to plan on those kinds of expenses and look around to all the resources that would be available to you to do that rebuilding.
And also, I recommend that you document everything. Take pictures. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. You know, keep your receipts. You know, keep everything. Document, you know. So because it may be a couple weeks before FEMA came in. Mm-hmm. When we had the tornado over in Ellettsville back in 2002, we had the town of Ellettsville cleaned up within 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA was not even there. When FEMA came in, they said, "Where are your damages?" And so, but we had all the documentation, so we had all the pictures to show them. We can't wait for the federal government. We got to get our people back the way we want them. Mm-hmm. We got to take care of our own.
Right. I want to remind our listeners that we're under a severe thunderstorm watch for Brown, Davies, Du Bois, Green, Lawrence, Martin, and Monroe County until 6:25, and we are under a flash flood warning for northern Green County, southern Clay County, and Owen County. John, you know, we've talked about the fact that there have been tornadoes, there have been floods, there have been severe thunderstorms. I want you to review for me, if you would, the siren system.
Okay, the siren system. The siren system is activated when the National Weather Service has a tornado warning for Monroe County. When we get notification that there is a tornado warning by the National Weather Service, we trip the sirens and they go off for 5 minutes. And what we ask people is to get to a safe place. Mm-hmm. Take your radio with you, TV if you have a TV in a place, you know. Sometimes the sirens will go off again. That might be because a law enforcement officer or a firefighter or EMS, emergency medical service personnel, has spotted a funnel cloud. And, of course, that would include our amateur radio operators, which do a fantastic job here in the county. They track that storm when it comes in until it leaves. But we have a good siren system here in the county. We got 28, outdoor warning sirens. And they're outdoor warning sirens. Sometimes you can hear them inside and sometimes you can't. So, but I recommend when you hear that siren, get to a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And do not call 911.
So the sirens, though, it sounds very clear. So when you get a tornado warning, that means a tornado has been spotted someplace,
yes,
and it's heading toward Monroe County,
mm-hmm,
then those sirens go off. So
right,
people should realize that,
yeah,
this is not a watch. This,
yeah,
is not a thunderstorm. Yeah. This is a tornado has been sighted.
And by, you know, listening to the radio, you know, taking a radio with them, they can get the information. So if the sirens went off at 12:30 and the tornado warning expires at 1 o'clock, then, you know, at 1 o'clock, if you don't hear anything more, mm-hmm, it's all clear.
Yeah, the building's,
yeah,
still standing.
Yeah.
Everything's good. All right, we just have a few minutes to go in the program. If you have a last-minute question, you could give us a call, 855-0811 or 877-285-9348, or you can send your email to noon@indiana.edu. But in the meantime, I want both of you to sort of review again some of the help that's available for people, because we've had thousands of people in our listening area that have been affected by either a tornado or high winds or flooding in the last 2 weeks. So, Sue?
Let me – and I will do that. I also want to thank all of our community partners who have helped already this week. You would be probably not surprised to know how many businesses and individuals have helped us. The number to call for anyone who has not already registered with the Red Cross is 1-866-GET-INFO. That's 1-866-438-4636. And those calls will be sent back down to our operation, and outreach teams are going out this this weekend to help people in Monroe County as well as Owen.
Okay. I just want to say thanks for having me on this program. We encourage everybody to, you know, to report their damages to our office, 349-2533. And also, if you have damage, you can also call the FEMA hotline at 1-800-621-3362. And that's between 8 and 6, Monday through I think it's 7 days a week, it says. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we encourage people to call there. You know, if you do have any problems, you can always call our office. You know, we'll help you out. You've got the Red Cross. Sue is, you know, her organization. You have the volunteers, you know, the emergency response agencies mm-hmm. that will really come out and enforce whenever there's a disaster.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have two phone callers. We'll try to get to both of them. Alicia, go ahead.
Hi. Yes, my question is related to the sirens that were going off on Saturday night. I did what you just recommended, which was you hear it, turn on the radio, see what the situation is. But I went from channel to channel to channel. I never did find anything explaining what was going on. I was in the extreme northeast side of town, and it was an impressive show from the window, but I couldn't figure out what the sirens were going off for.
Okay. That should have been on the radio. I will Comcast. We did have a problem with Comcast with the cable override. We found out that they had a lightning strike to the system that provides the cable override. So they have fixed that now. So hopefully the next storm, we will it'll be activated like it should be. But I don't know why you did not get notified on that. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, as long as you were aware there was a problem.
Yes. We'd like to hear those problems because that helps us out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks a lot. And our second caller must have had the same question because she hung up after she heard the first question. So I guess we solved both those problems. So we are out of time. I do want to mention again, you know, we have a lot of people in Monroe County for sure, as well as Owen County, Morgan County, Johnson County, Bartholomew County, that all over our area that have been affected by this storm. So I know that John and Sue would appreciate any volunteer help they can get mm-hmm. and any donations that could come to the Red Cross, certainly. Yes. And John's certainly looking for people to call those numbers to report damage so that Monroe County gets its fair share.
If people in other counties need to get a hold of their emergency management agencies – and you don't know the numbers, they're not in the phone book, give us a call. We'll help you out.
And your number?
Is 349-2546.
All right. I want to thank John Hooker and Sue Gully for being here with us today, for Mary Catherine Carmichael, for Ariana Prothero, for Catherine Becker. Well, Catherine Becker Hagerman, we'll have to give her a shout-out today since she's dealing with this flood. Adam Ragusea, we have to say goodbye to Adam. He's leaving after today. And for John Shelton, who's been here sitting in for Mike Pashkash, I'm Bob Zaltzberg. Thanks for listening.
Noon Edition is a production of WFIU and the Herald Times. A podcast of this and other WFIU programs is available at wfiu.org.